Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of Elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit EnduranceWarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's EnduranceWarranty.com.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, June 13th. So Friday the 13th, we're here to scare you. Boo. Anyways, welcome to Coexisting. We got a lot to talk about. It's been a pretty busy week with everything that's gone down from World Glide to Money in the Bank to Raw to NXT to a great AEW Dynamite. What do they call this one? Summer blockbuster. Yeah, a 4-hour show, which they can stop that anytime. but yeah, so as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Doing good. Like I told you, Rob, and you know, some other friends. My best friend gave birth to her second child this past week, this Saturday. And this Wednesday, I went to their place to see how they were. They the day before on Tuesday, she got home from the hospital. They let her go home because everything was great, everything was fine. And because I was her maid of honor at their wedding, and I told her I'm not gonna come to your place empty-handed, so please tell me, what do you want me to buy for the girl? And she's like, okay. And she sent me 2 screenshots from a local store that we have here. And I'm like, sure, this should be a breeze, right? So I go to the store on Tuesday before work, and I realized that every time I enter this store, I never go to the baby department, because why would I? I don't have a child. And then I'm like, okay, I'm lost. I have no idea what all these things are for. And then I look at the screenshots and see that she hasn't told me what this is. And I have no idea what I'm looking at. I'm like, what's that for? What is that? What? So I finally was able to see a woman that worked at the place. And I'm like, ma'am, hi, excuse me, could you help me with... And just as I was about to show her, you know, the screenshot, she says, everything's on display. And then she continues on her way. She passes me by and I'm like,
ooh.
Okay, so you don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. So I text my friend and I'm like, please tell me what this is, because the women here are really bitchy. Like, please, they are no help whatsoever. And then she told me what those 2 things were, and I had no idea what that is. And I was finally able to see a lovely lady. It was a girl. She was way younger than me. And I was like, hi, I need some help. Where are these 2 items? And she's like, right here. And they're right here. Legitimately, like right here. Now, like, oh, thank you. I do not have children. I do not. And she's like, that's fine. That's totally fine. That's, you know, have a wonderful day. So I take the things and I'm on my way to work. And as I almost got there, I remembered that I wanted to buy sunglasses because I haven't bought any like in years, and the ones I have are crappy. So I went and bought, you know, sunglasses. But it was my first time entering a fancy sunglass store. And by fancy, I mean not a booth that's right on the street. That's what I mean. So I entered the store and everything's filled with sunglasses, and my anxiety kicks in because everything looks incredibly fancy and I'm just anxious. And then the sales lady comes out and she's like, with this exact level of enthusiasm, can I help you with anything? I'm not even kidding. This is the exact way she told me. And I just turn to her and say, well, I'm looking for sunglasses. You know? And she looks at me with this poker face and she's like, I'm shocked.
Okay. Wow.
And I'm like, okay, you're one of us now. So wow. I had a wonderful time. I bought sunglasses. On Wednesday, I went to see the, you know, the baby. And because they have a cat. The cat was so weird about the baby, man. Like, the baby was there for 12 hours, probably. And I don't think that the cat ever stopped looking at the baby like this. So they went to change the baby's diapers, and the cat was like,
oh, yeah.
What, you can do that? I swear, that baby is going to be so ridiculously spoiled by me. It's a little girl. I've always wanted my friend to have a girl. Her previous child is a boy. I love that boy. And now I'm going to spoil the crap out of that girl. I swear to God. But hi, guys, this is a wrestling show. It's not a baby show. It's not a sunglasses show. Thank you so much for being here. We have a lot to talk about. But as we start the show, let me get out my shtick. Please leave a like on the video. It is the most direct and free way in which you can support me and Rob and I. Thank you so much for being here. Sound off in the chat. Send us your baby emojis and everything, and flowers and puke and doo-doo.
Don't send that. No.
Well, it's an emoji. You can.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that part.
Robert, no. Emojis. That's fine. Yeah. Send us a super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign, or you can set a Humper Chat at humperchats.com if you're watching on any other platform apart from YouTube. But of course, Robin, I always employ you guys to send Humper Chats because it makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds. We want to hear what you guys thought of this past week of wrestling, because it was a lot, man. We want to know your opinions, and please subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful and Fightful Overbooked. And last but definitely not least, please subscribe to Fightful Select, the best $5.99 that you will ever spend on wrestling. A lot of clearance, a lot of scoops, contract news, Sean's Q&A, Grapsity's Q&A. You have Sour Graps with Alex and Kate. A lot of amazing, amazing stuff. You will not regret it. Please try it. And if you don't, you can continue for whatever reason. Thank you, Ryan, for the super chat.
He says, was really hoping the story was going to end with Maggie punching someone.
I want to punch people every day, but I'm not going to punch the baby if that's what you're implying.
I doubt that was.
You know, he's a
Philadelphia Flyers fan, so he's used to like wanting to see people punched and stuff like that, hockey fighting. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he meant. He wanted me to punch the baby. I love that baby.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. So, as you said, Maggie, it was a busy week of wrestling, and we'll start with Worlds Collide, pay-per-view that was last week, or PLE, rather, that was last Saturday afternoon here in the States, and Saturday evening where you live. Maggie, I was pretty impressed with that show. I had a feeling they were going to go all out, and they did. I was not expecting a Mr. Iguana to steal the show, or be what everybody was talking about. But here we are. What are your thoughts on Worlds Collide? And yeah, that's pretty much my question for you.
Worlds Collide, because it was on at Saturday at 10 p.m. my time. I decided to sleep. So I was able to watch the show Monday morning while I was drinking my tea. I love the show. Mr. Iguana, I'm sorry. I cannot be the only one that wants Mr. Iguana and Danhausen face off, or tag team at least. It's right there.
Yeah.
A really exciting show. I did not have notes about it because I just wanted to enjoy the show. And naturally, I would have had... Everyone found out last week. I am not that familiar when it comes to AAA. So I was just watching for fun. But Chad Gable and Vikingo was so fun and incredibly good. And having in mind that Chad Gable competed in another match later in the evening was so ridiculously impressive, and it was as if this was his both matches he treated like they were the only match for the night for him, and that is for me incredibly professional, and I hope he got that money for those two matches, and I hope he gets the flowers he deserves.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah, it was a fun show, good show. And that Vikingo Chad Gable match was superb, I would say. It's really, we all knew that Chad Gable is gonna kill at any time, and he that's what he did, him and Vikingo. It was a fun match. I definitely recommend anyone watching that match. Anybody that loves wrestling, I think, will like that match. But, the thing is the show overall was fun. Like, you know, it felt like it went fast, and it was a good PLE. So that was good. They went all out for it, and I think they delivered, in my opinion. So we'll move on to Money in the Bank. Maggie, which match do you think was what was your favorite match? That's probably the easiest way for me to ask this.
Well, see, both of us were really excited for the Women's Money in the Bank match last week.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like it underdelivered. I don't think that I don't know if people will agree with me about this one, but the Men's Money in the Bank match was really good because we had stories within the match. But sticking to the Women's Money in the Bank, it felt to me like the thing that they were trying to do is getting those moves, and then Naomi climbs out to take to take the briefcase. Don't get me wrong, we had killer spots. We got Roxy countering the Razor's Edge from Rhea Ripley with a Hurricanrana on the ladder. That spot was really, really good. The Devil's Kiss on the ladder to Rhea Ripley. That was really good. The duo Code Red on the ladder by Roxy and Alexa Bliss were really good. Then Naomi pushed Alexa and Rhea off the ladder. She climbed on the ladder and won the Money in the Bank briefcase. For me, that was the right decision. I know I talked about this on our predictions. I still picked Roxanne Perez for whatever reason, but my heart said Naomi. So I'm going to take that as a win. But the men's Money in the Bank ladder match was, like I mentioned previously while talking about Chad Gable, El Grande Americano had really, really good showing. And that he slid in the ring using one ladder, landing on the different ladder that was under the under the title. Then he had put a his metal thing and he had butted Penta with it. Then the Seth Riders came out. Bloodline 2.0 was there too. So they destroyed everyone. JC Mateo and Jacob stared down Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. We had the barricade spear to JC Mateo. I cannot believe I'm saying JC Mateo with a straight face, by the way. Jeff Cobb, okay. We saw Samoan drop to Bronson Reed. And then Jacob Fatu gets the ladder for Solo Sikoa, and he was like, climb the ladder! And then he turned on him, because do you know why? On this past week of SmackDown, Solo Sikoa pulled aside JC, and he was like, Jacob isn't all in the head. He isn't right in the head. But I have everything under control, and everything will be fine. And Jacob Fatu was right behind the door, and he heard everything, man.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then he turned on Solo Sikoa right in the middle of Money in the Bank. So, of course, Seth is going to take advantage of everything. And he won Money in the Bank. Where the fuck was CM Punk, man?
He was not around. I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to hate Seth Rollins so much like CM Punk does, and he really, really hates the guy, how are you not around to cost him an opportunity of everything he wants in life? He wants that championship. He already has a magnificent wife. He's married to one of the best women's wrestlers they have in that locker room. He has a wonderful, wonderful child. What else could you want? Oh, a championship opportunity, a title. Sure. How are you CM Punk and not cost Seth Rollins the only thing that he's missing right now? I was really disappointed, because this makes no sense at all, man, whatsoever. And this is the same problem I had with Seth Rollins qualifying for the Money in the Bank ladder match in the first place, because CM Punk waited for him to qualify and win the match and then attack the guy. I'm gonna need a serious explanation as to why this thing happened. And I was looking at my television really shocked at the end result here, and not because I don't want Seth Rollins to win. Like I said, I'm a Seth Rollins girly. I love Seth, but it makes no sense. Why, man?
I could tell you why right now.
Please.
I'm Seth freaking Rollins. Burn it down, bitch.
That's why. Because he's Seth freaking Rollins. He burns it down.
I thought that you were legitimately going to give me an explanation, and then you went ahead and
He said what I was going to say. I could have said this.
I'm the fucking beaver.
Yeah. So, Seth Rollins.
About the Money in a Bank ladder matches, those were my you know, initial thoughts, and I can't wait to see where what they decide to do with Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. But I'm really flabbergasted at the Seth Rollins win. I'm just, you know, and if they're gonna go ahead and tell us that they just want to move on to Cena and CM Punk, sure. But they did like a lot of things before that with Seth and you know, and Punk, and it's just weird, man.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Well, I had a feeling that, I know Friday I wasn't going into it thinking Seth was going to win. You know, I wasn't. I don't even remember who I picked, but I don't think it was Seth Rollins. Going into the match, after I figured out the way it was going, and then of course we knew all along that Braun and Bronson were going to get involved, and then it just made sense, like at the end, for them to do it. What I was expecting more than anything this week was Seth possibly faking out, like going like after the Gunther match, Gunther and Jey Uso, but obviously it was time limit. You know, they were going to a time limit. I don't really recall, but I think with Seth Rollins, I saw a lot of people disappointed that LA Knight didn't win. That surprised me. But Seth Rollins winning, I think, is the right call because it adds a lot more to their small group right now. And we'll see where it goes, where it leads them to. I have a feeling that well, unless SmackDown's 4 hours. That's a joke. Anyways, I think we're headed to, obviously we have CM Punk versus John Cena coming up. I really do not want them to start. By any means do I want them to go with CM Punk and Seth Rollins again. I want that to just move on. I am hoping that, I'm actually hoping CM Punk wins this title, because everything with John Cena has just been like, it's been so disappointing. And I think CM Punk would add more excitement. And I'm not really the biggest Punk guy. I just think it would add more to it. I don't see Rollins going after Gunther as much as I thought I would like that.
You're saying that CM Punk wins the title and then Seth Rollins cashes in on him?
No, well, that's what I don't want to happen. That's what I do not want to happen. I want Seth Rollins to win it, like make it maybe do the same thing he did before, like when he won it the first time with the at WrestleMania. What was it, 32? 30. WrestleMania? Oh, 30? No, okay, whatever. Whatever he won it against Roman and Lesnar, I would kind of like that again. I would like him to do it at SummerSlam.
No, 29. 31.
Okay, either one. Bryn.
Bryn!
Yeah. I have that video, too.
When was the hijack of the century?
There was 31 was when. Thank you.
31.
That's our info manager right there. Well, we can't recall. Bryn's there to save the day. But if he cashes in, I kind of want it to be a repeat of that. I think it would be very intriguing, and I hope that Cena gets pinned. Like, if this is how they have him lose a title. Now, do I see them possibly letting Cena hold this title until his last match? I can absolutely see that happening, too. I could see him having that title. I can see it. I think that might be a way they go.
Do you think he's a heel throughout the entire thing, then?
No, I don't. I think it's...
How do you see it happening? How
so this is my thing. Like, and I know I just said I could see him holding on to it the whole time. Now I'm kind of curious how they can make him a face if he has that title. You know what I mean?
That's my question. How do you see it happening?
Yeah, now I'm kind of thinking, I don't know. But I don't know how they're going to turn him face either. So That's a problem. Because we don't, we do know that Gunther is not going to be challenged by Seth Rollins anytime soon, if he does, because we know that Goldberg is going to be wrestling your guy, Gunther. Your reaction to that. So yeah, Saturday night main event. It's obviously more likely that we're going to see Goldberg versus
Barf.
Yeah, okay, versus Gunther. That's the only way I could see like this going for both ways. I think. I can't see Rollins cashing in on Gunther at all. I think if he cashes in, it's on Cena or whoever beat Cena. That's where I see it going. I don't know. It's intriguing, to say the least. Finally, they're making this Raw, this past week's Raw, and we'll get into it more, but this week's Raw was, they kind of set some things up for the future.
They did.
So I'm liking this. That was, in my opinion, that was the best Raw we've seen in quite a while. And that was, granted, it doesn't take much for it to be the best Raw we've seen in a while. We know that because it's less than, I think, 45 minutes of actual, no, I think it was less than 35 minutes of actual wrestling on Monday.
To be quite fair, I know that people are really pissed off about not there being not enough wrestling on a wrestling show. I understand where it's coming from. When it's comedically less amount of wrestling that you normally get, I'll be complaining too. But for me, the bigger problem would be for them to waste the entire 2 to 3 hours with nonsense.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was completely wrong on the time. It was almost an hour.
Of wrestling? Yeah, we had a bunch of wrestling. You know, we have King and Queen of the Ring qualifiers. Yeah, we had some wrestling.
Yeah. So looking at Raw this past week, you had Styles versus Gable, which is always good to see Styles get a win. That match was 7 minutes. Yeah, that match was 7 minutes and 55 seconds. The Queen of the Ring match with Roxanne, when she defeated Kairi Sane, Morgan, and Ripley, that was 12 minutes and 50 seconds. Then you had the non-title King of the Ring first round match. I think, so obviously, Dominic Mysterio, his title is not on the line. Sami Zayn defeated Breaker, Mysterio, and Penta. That match was 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the World Heavyweight title, where Gunther defeated Uso, Jey Uso. Show,
yes.
That was 22 minutes. So.
Yeah. So there you go. So what I meant to say was that I'm not the one complaining a lot about, you know, the duration of wrestling as a whole in the wrestling show, only if it's ridiculously low amount of, you know, of wrestling, but I'm always going to have a problem with them just dragging their feet when it comes to progressing storylines and actually getting to the point and creating. And if they're not going to get to the point, for them to create intriguing ways for them to slow things down until the right moment comes for that conclusion to happen. That is it.
Yeah. Got a super chat from our good friend, Soupy. Thank you very much. Soupy Jet. Yeah, he says, the worst part of Money in the Bank was the commentary talking about the fireball ladder. I thought bad, but it was horrible to listen to.
Yeah, so the fireball ladder, the moment it got introduced to the ring, I was like, did anyone tell Nyla Rose about this? Did anyone tell her? Because she adores fireball. A lot, and that is the one thing I remember out of the pandemic, man. She drank Fireball like crazy, and I hate that stuff because it's whiskey with cinnamon in it.
Whiskey.
I fucking hate cinnamon whiskey. Yes.
Whiskey. I just like the way you said it. That's all. That's all.
Whiskey.
It's yeah, whiskey.
Yeah, whiskey.
Yeah.
It's the Bulgarian way to say it. Whiskey. I'm sorry if that sounds weird. That's
no,
it's in Bulgarian. Yeah, with cinnamon. I fucking hate cinnamon because ever since I was a kid, I used to think that if diabetes smelled like anything, it would smell like cinnamon.
Diabetes.
Which is the stupidest thing ever, because actually cinnamon could help you prevent diabetes. So do not listen to baby Maggie. She's stupid bitch. So
I gave advice a couple weeks ago on what you can do if you want to prevent a baby. So
no, let's not, you know, talk about that again. So one of the big talking points for Money in the Bank was, at the end of Cody and Jey Uso versus Cena and Logan Paul, a masked figure appeared in the ring and beat up John Cena. He pulled off his mask and it was R-Truth.
Shocking.
You know, shocking. Because while I was listening and watching to John Cena's final promo before Money in the Bank, and everyone in that audience were chanting, "We want truth, we want truth." And John Cena played it off. He said, "You can handle the truth." And I'm like, he's playing off of that. What? No, he's probably the only person who can get away with that, because he mentioned truth a lot. And then truth came back. So apparently, Triple H watches Coexisting.
Yeah, like we said.
Yeah.
But it turns out that Nick Khan watches it too, because he's the one that made the call to R-Truth. So
Yeah.
He was probably, what I'm guessing was happening, Nick was probably on a flight, on his private flight to Los Angeles for Money in the Bank weekend. He goes, "You know what? That son of a bitch is right. I'm going to give Ron Killings a call right now. We're going to bring him back."
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Because
we got to them.
We're master bookers, so we're
we're master something, but not
So that's why they did it. That's why, because I'm gonna take credit for it. And you know what? I'm a big Ron Killings guy, so he doesn't have to give me like anything for doing that. Because I told him that they needed to bring him back, and they did, and that's what matters. We do have another super chat from Soupy, the Soupy chat. Paid super chat for one Rob's educational advice.
Yes, but do not take Rob's educational advice.
Yeah, don't. No.
Use a condom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, watch wrestling. None of us have sex anyway.
Yeah. And if you do, I'm saying if you do use a condom, then when you take it off, use it as a slingshot. And hit your partner in the head with it. So there you go. There's my advice.
So it doesn't happen ever again. I mean the sex. So yes, that is the best you can do. So what happened next on Raw was R-Truth came out. He got on the announce table. And he said that he loved R-Truth, but he needs to set him free. And then he set his hair free. And by that, I mean he cut off his hair and said, "I'm Ron Killings now." And I'm like, you could have been Ron Killings without cutting your hair, you weirdo.
I found that weird, because that was part of the thing about R-Truth is why we like him, because he's not serious. Now he's going to be serious?
Well, we still don't know what they're going to do with his character. We still have no idea what he plans to do with the character himself.
Well, the way he made it sound is those days of the R-Truth that we know of are gone. That's the way he made it sound. That's the way I interpret it.
Yeah, I understand. But like, it's going to be incredibly stupid if the crowd turns on the guy.
I'm not saying that.
They made him come back.
Well,
I don't know what they plan to do with it. I'm anxious to see, but It's like, I know the weirdos got all into Sean's head, man. No, stop it. There's zero chance everyone in that company got worked. And if it did happen, that is not a good way to treat your, you know, locker room.
It wasn't a work.
Not a work. So R-Truth is back. Different R-Truth. I'm sorry. It's Ron Killings.
You know, Ron Killings has defeated AJ Styles for the NWA title. I'm just saying. I'm just letting you know.
I mean, AJ Styles has taken a lot of losses anyway. So let's just not bring that up.
Hey, but like I said earlier, he won this week, which is a complete shocker to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know. If they make an actual storyline that he always loses when it comes to Chad Gable and wins when it comes to El Grande Americano, I'm going to lose my mind because that's stupid, man.
Well, prepare to lose your mind because I think that's where it's going.
So stupid. Yeah, so let's talk about the big-ass elephant in the room. So CM Punk confronted John Cena on this past week's Raw. He said that the people did not choose Cena like they chose Punk. Punk said that the people are his boss. He brought up Elimination Chamber and said that John Cena knows that what he's doing is wrong because he said that he was sorry as he was submitting CM Punk. That sounds really weird. But then a match was made for Saudi Arabia with Punk.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how to feel about that.
Kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. It is what it is. I am so sure that the entire wrestling community took that well.
Yeah. Well,
I am so sure. I know that CM Punk made his point across when it comes to those shows. The thing is that the moment he made those comments about The Miz and Saudi Arabia, he was not a part of AEW. Wasn't he doing the show with Fox around that time? I don't know if I kind of feel like it was around that time. So it wasn't about territorial, you know, crap. AEW and you know, WWE. It was not about that. He was pretty vocal, like he always is. And he's pretty much in the same place right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
Well, I Clown makes a good point here. I like this. If Punk actually goes to Saudi, he better announce his pay is going to charity. That'd be interesting. I just don't see that happening. But, Bruin says, oh, yeah, the reaction to the Cena-Punk match was extremely civil. And that was the thing. Like, it was, I don't know. Like, I mean, this is, I just find it, like, odd. Like, you know, it was a matter of time, you know, that he was going to have to go over there. And in my opinion, like, and I'm actually surprised Cena's doing it too, but with some of the stuff that's come out of Cena's mouth lately, it shouldn't really be a surprise anyways. But I don't know, money talks, you know. Money is what makes some of these people's world go round, and I get it. Money is money, and we never know what somebody's motivation is. It doesn't make him look good by any means, because he sent that tweet a couple of years ago to The Miz. And I'm not going to say what he said because you can go look it up if you want to, but it's obviously one of those things that it just makes him look ridiculous, you know?
I mean, the moment he set foot in WWE, people thought, you know, a lot of people thought that every time a show at Saudi Arabia comes along, someone will have to take him out, you know, in kayfabe, take him out of the picture just so he has a legitimate reason not to be there. And they were, you know, a few people that was like, he's so going there. I don't know if this match is going to take place. I mean, they made it official, right?
Yeah.
There's a, you know, there's a graphic and everything. It's an official match. But, you know, always card subject to change. I don't know. But, like, if they're going to, you don't play around with a match of that capacity. Because CM Punk and John Cena is a big-time match. And if you're going to make a graphic and everything about the match and promote it, you better deliver on it. Because, again, this is not a Naomi versus Zelina Vega match. That is a big-ass match that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I have all of my doubts that I'm going to believe that that match is going to take place when the match comes around. That's it. But it's so weird, man. It's so weird. Yeah.
I think basically what we're both saying is we want to see AJ Lee at Evolution. Is what it comes
is exactly what I said. I mean,
I think that's in the long run what we're saying.
Yes.
So I think it would help benefit society if AJ Lee was at Evolution. I think the world would come together.
I'm gonna come together. Talking about AJ Lee, let's talk about the other thing. So Nikki Bella came back.
Nikki Bella.
So I'm not the biggest Bella twin girl.
By this time out, have you ever seen the video of somebody that edited Brock Lesnar as Nikki Bella dancing in the video game? Like he was doing the dance that Nikki does?
God.
Like, it's.
Show it to me.
I won't. But you should. It's hilarious.
So when I say that I'm not the biggest Bella Twins girl, I'm holding back when I say this because I don't want to sound mean. Because they're just not for me. You know, I'm not going to say anything meaner, although I really want to. So what I had to watch is Io Sky thanking Brie Bella for paving the way. And if that didn't make me mad, then so mad about that. So Nikki came out and she thanked the entire women's division for, you know, for everything. And then she started mentioning names. And what she didn't mention was Liv Morgan's name. So Liv was pretty pissed off because she lost her Queen of the Ring match. So Roxy offered to help her just so they can team together and then figure out which one of them qualifies. Liv Morgan didn't want to take her help. And then Roxy bailed her a lot out of that match. And then they eventually started to work with each other.
Yeah.
And Kairi Sane went to pin Liv. And what Roxanne did was she pinned Kyrie herself, and she told Liv Morgan that all that she was doing was saving her from getting pinned while winning the match, you know, which is brilliant. By the way, I love that save. And then, you know, the Judgment Day had their celebration backstage and everything. They congratulated her. And then Liv Morgan came to the into the shot, and she said, "That's nothing to be celebrated for." And then she went away. And Finn Balor told Dominic Mysterio, he was like, "Maybe you should go and talk to her." And he was like, "Yeah, but I have a qualifying match myself." And then he disappeared. And Finn Balor is having the time of his life, man. He's so stirring the pot. I cannot. Judgment Day for me have never been more interesting than they are right now. I'm not even kidding. That is a soap opera I'm so here for. Wow. I'm not even sorry. I am not sorry. This is so good. So Liv, so you can imagine Liv Morgan was pretty pissed off about that. So she came out to the ring and she said, "You better mention my name when it comes to amazing professional wrestlers in the female division. I'm Liv Morgan. I'm a Money in the Bank winner. And I'm a tag team specialist at everything. And why?" And you're just jealous. And Nikki... Nikki said to her, "You should go thank, you should go congratulate Roxanne Perez for stealing your title shot and your man." So Liv Morgan said, what exactly did she say? Liv said that she was a champ and Nikki will always be just a reality show diva. And then she gave her an oblivion. I'm pretty sure that we're getting Liv Morgan and Nikki Bella, but at what capacity? Because they can go for the tag titles if Nikki finds a tag partner.
Yep. And her name is Brie Mode.
Brie Mode.
God.
And I'm just gonna have a puke party in my living room, and that's, you know. Yeah. I mean, I've said this before, and I want to make it abundantly clear that I will forever be grateful for everything that the Bella Twins have done to make female women's wrestling matter and getting women to watch wrestling because they're watching their reality show. I will never say that this isn't a wonderful contribution for women in wrestling. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. But that is so not what I'm watching wrestling for. That is not my thing. If that's what people are excited about, more power to them because they get to enjoy wrestling. I don't, but I'm easily entertained, and I will always give credit where credit is due because Nikki Bella got incredibly good in the ring.
Yeah.
Insanely good in the ring during the time where it didn't matter if she was good in the ring or not. So kudos to her for doing better. I know that she's going through a lot of crap in her life right now, and I wish that upon no one. And I hope that this is helping her keep her mindset in a healthier space. So yes. How do you feel about that? Are you like?
I'm glad she's back, like, because it does bring some fans back. I believe it'll have a good impact, and I think a tag team run with her and Brie would be good. You know, like I think it'd be good for them. Is what I'm saying. Not necessarily that it would be good on TV, but that's the thing. Like, from a perspective of, like, a business perspective, they do bring the eyeballs, because there's fans of them that that just love them, and they watch the reality shows. And hey, by all means, if it brings more people to watch wrestling, and if people want to see it, she got a great reaction. The promo with Liv was good, and I think you're absolutely right. I think it's pretty obvious that they're working towards a tag team match. And, yeah, we'll have to see. If not a tag team match, they're just going to the Beyonce concert. So, one of the two. So.
Sure, right next door.
Yeah, they're gonna have fun either way.
Yes.
Oh, man. How about a little, you think, Cooper Effect action now?
You don't want us to talk about Gunther beating Jay? For
I forgot all about that. Yeah, that Gunther guy. He defeated Jay Uso.
And he is the new old heavyweight champion. yeah, so they sold me a ticket as to, I just thought that Jey Uso was going to tap out Gunther again, and I was going to lose my shit. And Gunther did it, man. He didn't cheat or anything. Granted, he almost never cheats anyway, because he's a ring general. I'm so ridiculously happy, but now comes the moment when I wonder if Goldberg isn't winning that championship from Gunther.
Hey, if Goldberg beats Gunther, just, we're not going to be able to do that the next show, because I don't think you'll want to do it, and I know I won't want to talk about it, so.
I'm going to be so pissed off, man.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. I think
that is not it, man.
Yeah, I don't see them going that route. Like, with putting the title on Goldberg, I just can't see it. And I hope I'm right in that assessment. I hope I'm very, like, spot on out of all of my thoughts and stuff like that. That's one thing I just do not want to happen. I do not want Goldberg to beat Gunther for the title. I don't want Goldberg to have a title at all. If they brought back the 24/7 title, I wouldn't want him to have that. I mean, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Does he deserve to get that last match and go out on, like, his terms? Absolutely. I do. I do appreciate what Goldberg's done for the business. I don't like what he did to my guy Bret Hart. Yeah. Yeah, what he's done in the ring. I don't like what he did to my guy Bret Hart. But, you know, I get it, you know. I just don't want him to go that route. I think it would just be a slap in the face to the fans and to Gunther. But again, who knows? I mean, they could. I don't want to say it's 0%, but I hope
never
it's
say
like,
that, man. Never say that.
No, that's why I said I hope it's not like 0, because there's always that chance. But I put it at like 25% right now. That's how I feel. I think he has 25% of winning. My Steiner math says that's not right, but that's what I'm going with.
So. I want it to be less than 1%.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. It doesn't need to be 1%. It can be less, but it can't be 0. So, but yeah, I'm glad Gunther won the title. He's a great champion, and they gave Jay about almost a 2-month run with that title. I don't think they necessarily did him any favors with some of the bookings that they gave him, but yet here we are.
I mean, I love the fact that they rewarded him for getting himself so ridiculously over with the crowd. I like that. Because it for me, it kind of shows me that this is the difference between the old regime and this one. I know that we have a lot of stuff to be pissed off about when it comes to this regime, and it's totally okay because this is the thing that we love and we love watching wrestling. And if something makes us emotional, we should say so.
Yeah.
And the reason why we feel emotional about it is because this is the thing that we love to watch. So they, if this was the old days, he probably would have been a jobber. Because I would like to think that back in the day, Rusev Day, if this
Rusev
was
Day.
It, if this was it now, he would have a title run at some capacity.
Yeah.
At some capacity. So I love the fact that they gave Jay a title run. Almost 2 months, that's completely fine. Because it's like we're so used to long ass title runs that we don't acknowledge the fact that short title runs are also a thing. And you shouldn't be looked down upon if you have a less than 1 year run. Because we're in the year of Roman Reigns being champion for 4 years and Cody Rhodes being champion for a full calendar year and everything and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
It's not always this. It's, yes.
Yep. So, you just never know. Like, yes. Gunther could be making the ultimate
sacrifice! 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 Sacrifice!
And letting Goldberg pin him.
Okay.
But if that happens, he better be getting money a lot more. That's how I feel. How about a little Cooper Effect action? Ready?
Yes. This week's Cooper Effect is brought to you by Corey Michaels, our wonderful, wonderful friend, Corey. I really don't want to tell you guys about the Cooper Effect because it's just going to make me cry. Corey sent me this and he said, just so you know, I ugly cried at work while reading this. And I'm like, sure. So now I'm ugly crying at work while reading this too. So let me tell you about this. So Hunter from Pennsylvania wanted to make his Great Dane Iris's final day special before she was put down due to an untreatable nasal growth. He ordered a steak dinner from Texas Roadhouse, noting that it was her last meal. Moved by the message, employee Kate prepared the meal with extra care, adding handwritten notes and decorations, and the staff offered their condolences when Hunter arrived. They even covered the cost of the meal. Hunter shared his experience on Facebook, and the story resonated worldwide, bringing comfort during a difficult time. So, he said it just blew us away. She was just put down later that night. And the next morning, I happened to check my emails and I saw the restaurant had also refunded my meal. The note said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It was signed by, the staff, members. And yes, it's... there was a picture of, the steak dinner, and she wrote, Kate, who prepared the steak, she said, you better believe that was the best steak I've ever cooked. So while I was reading about this, it moved me a lot because that cute little doggy man, it's just, she had the opportunity to have one last meal and it was prepared with so much love. And there are awesome people out there that will take care of your animals, no matter what their health state is. And kudos to that Roadhouse, Texas Roadhouse. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And please love animals.
Yes. Yeah, and Texas Roadhouse is good. It's good food. Big fan of the bread there. And you wouldn't like that, like their bread, because they use like a cinnamon butter, like for their like bread. But it's pretty damn good, Maggie. It is.
I cannot believe that you use cinnamon and pretty good in one sentence.
No, well, hey, you know, what can I say? It's good, and you know, like that's just the way it is, I guess you would say. I mean, I could have gone to
David States. Busters, damn it.
But I didn't.
Corey, who's not a dark mode user? Everyone should be a dark mode user. If you still use light mode, you're just a weirdo, man. What are you talking about? And like, while we're on this matter, guys, if you see awesome stories like that, not necessarily, you know, stories that will make you want to cry your eyes out, but like awesome, awesome stories, please send Rob or me the story. And we are going to talk about
it. Yeah, slide into my DMs, why don't you? okay. Maggie, AEW Blockbuster, Summer Blockbuster, was this past Wednesday on TNT and all over whatever networks you watch it on, Cinemax or Max, whatever, wherever you watched it. It was a four-hour show. Technically, it was a two-hour show brought to you by another two-hour show on top of it if you were recording it. AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, blah. So, four-hour show.
We got way easier to digest than last week's show. I'm just gonna.
Oh yeah, on a ranking scale, I would say last week's compared to this week's, night and day difference.
Yeah.
This week's show was so much better. It didn't feel like they were phoning anything in like they were the week before. It was just, yeah, that was one of the worst Dynamites. That Fyter Fest was just boring as it could be possibly be for me. But this week I enjoyed it. We had Ospreay versus Swerve number 2.
Oh my God.
I mean, they've wrestled before, but we're talking AEW. Their second match, and that was hose me down. I mean, that's how that was. It was a slobber knocker. It was so fun. I've watched it twice, actually, now. The first time really? I watched it live, and then, yeah, and I went back and watched it yesterday, because I remembered I took a phone call, like, during part of it, so I knew I wanted to go back and watch it all, but it doesn't disappoint.
You?
My mom, I think. It's who, yeah, it was my mom.
So that's the only reason why you pick up.
Yeah, you got to pick up when mom calls, usually.
Yes.
there's certain times you don't, but
sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a good show. But that match, go out of your way. Like, if there's two matches you go out of your way to watch this week, past week, in my opinion, it's that one with Swerve and Ospreay and Gable and Vikingo.
Those are the two.
Go out of my way to watch. But you know, there were other matches, but I just liked how this kicked off. And I think if you saw the YouTube thumbnail that we used, I think this is headed toward a Young Bucks versus Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay tag match at AEW All In Texas. I think that's where we're headed with this. And my God, take my money, take all my money if this is something we get, because damn, you're going to have the best, arguably one of the greatest tag teams of all time when it comes to like in ring, like work. And then two of the best wrestlers going today. Just take it. Like, I'll give you my ATM code. You can just take the money that's out of there. But hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
So let me just go really, really quick throughout the entire saga. So Ospreay Swerve was such an emotional match, and you know by now that those two are really close with each other. They know each other's movesets, and they've wrestled before, not only on AEW but on other, you know, platforms. So what happened was Swerve was close to beating Will Ospreay one more time, and he went for the Swerve Stomp on the apron, and then they reached the time limit draw. You know, the time limit expired. Swerve wanted 5 more minutes for sudden death. And it's as if this was the Death Riders cue. So they came out, they surround the ring, and they took both of their attention while Young Bucks entered, and they took out Will Ospreay, and then they handcuffed Swerve Strickland to in the corner on the ropes, and they started super kicking the guy. And then they called for Yuta. Yuta came in to the ring with a bag. They opened up the bag, and we realized that in the bag were sneakers with spikes on them. You know, Swerve Strickland sneakers, you know, the ones that used during Anarchy in the Arena match. So they put them on and wanted to super kick Swerve. But Will Ospreay got in there right time.
Yep.
And he took the bullet for Swerve exactly like he did, like he said, you know, weeks ago. He took the super kick. And then the Young Bucks were all weird about it. They were like, well, we didn't want to super kick him. And then they were really, really awkward about it. And they left. So the minor problem I have with this thing is that already they announced Will Ospreay is fighting on Grand Slam next week in Mexico.
Yep.
And if that man ain't wrestling with an eye patch, I'm done. All the great ones have wrestled with eye patches on. So this is a weird way to sell whatever the hell happened this week with him being completely fine next week. So put an eye patch on the guy. Just do it. Because I'm going to have a complete and utter problem if he's just fine next week. So what happened afterwards is the Death Riders, throughout this entire thing, I'm saying, where the hell is Hangman?
Yeah.
Why isn't he helping? And then later on in the show, they drag Hangman from behind, from backstage. And he's all tied up and duct taped through the mouth and everything. And what I loved about this was John Moxley rarely does this now, but he used to back in the day. John Moxley, and he's in his own incredibly funny way, he praised and hyped up Hangman while actually being incredibly condescending.
Yeah.
This is an extremely difficult thing to do, and somehow Moxley does it with ease, and that is why this is what I missed about John Moxley. So every time I say that John Moxley and Hangman are wonderful with each other because they fought a bunch, these past years, they fought a lot.
Yeah.
So the fire that Hangman has and the explosiveness that Moxley have, they complement each other extremely well.
Yep.
So while Moxley was getting in Hangman's face, Hangman just headbutts him. And this is why the entirety of the AEW fan base adore the guy, because he just doesn't give up, man. He just does not care who you are, and he will beat you up. So they went for the throat chair thingy. And then the ops came out and saved Hangman. And Hangman got on the microphone and had, and you know, he promised that he would have their heads. So I'm happy that this is happening, but what are they doing with the trios titles? And why haven't we gotten an answer for Hook yet? Because it's been a couple of weeks now, and we haven't seen Hook whatsoever. And it definitely doesn't help the Collision is on the same different day the Dynamite is. And they're basically one giant big show and everything. So later on, we see that Hangman is about to enter the medical room to see how Will Ospreay is doing. And then he gets confronted by the Young Bucks. And they're like, yeah, we help you. You're just, you know, going to bring back the championship to the Elite like, you know, like before. And he said that they could go to hell. And the next time, he said, stay out of Will Ospreay's business, stay out of Swerve's business. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go. And you could see Nana. Butting his head out of the room. That was incredibly comedic. So what Hangman said, that the next time he burned down the house, it would be after he made sure that both the Young Bucks are locked inside.
And you know what's great about that? That they're in the Young Bucks like town in 2 weeks, where the Young Bucks are from.
Cucamonga?
Well, pretty close to it. It's like Oxnard is where they'll... So no.
They're in California.
Yeah, it's pretty close to where they're from.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
I think it's Oxnard is where they're going to be in California, but I'm going to double check because now I...
Okay.
I can't remember.
Ontario.
Thank you. Ontario, California.
Okay. So what happened later was Nana, he was like, did you... thank you, Bryn. Oh, my God.
Yep.
We would be nowhere without her.
No.
No.
That's...
So Nana asked Swerve, did you hear that? And Swerve said every single word.
Yeah.
Here we go, man. Oh, we're off to the races. There it is. Give me what I want. This is going to be so fucking emotional, man. I cannot wait. Give me that. Give me just... Ugh. This is so good. This is so fucking good. I cannot wait. This is Kenny Omega and Okada, although we're going to talk about that, but like, I feel like All In is lining up to be an amazing, amazing, amazing show. I'm jealous. Yeah. Fuck Texas.
Yeah, it's looking good. And like I said,
how do you feel about that? About that whole storyline?
I'm a big fan that it took a couple of turns this week, and it's about time. Like, sometimes it's just a little too slow. And this time they gave us a lot in little time. So I'm a big fan of that. But other than that, it was just... I don't know the word I'm looking for here, but it was good. Like, I enjoyed all of it with the Hangman Swerve and Will Ospreay business. So it was what we call good writing, good promo. So yeah, and I guess we'll see, because I said it on our show either last week or the week before. I think we're headed towards Hangman versus Kenny Omega in November. Mm-hmm. At Full Gear. That's what I think. That's what I want. And I'm putting it out in the atmosphere so it can happen.
So tell me what you thought about the Okada Omega segment that we got to finish up Dynamite right before Collision started. Share all of your thoughts.
I liked the biggest thing that I liked was the video presentation or the vignette clip behind the scenes type thing. Like, what makes this so special? That's what I liked the most out of everything. But not, I mean, it's just, I'm ready for it. Like, that's the easiest way I can say it. They got me even more pumped up than I already was. And that's what their job is, to get you interested in this match. And they did it.
I actually felt a bit bummed out because they started with this amazing video package of their matches, of all three of their matches. And it was as if I was strolling down memory lane and I was like, it's as if it's the pandemic all over again and I'm watching these matches one after the other. And they were so good. And then what happened was they had a contract signing in the ring.
Yep.
And Don Callis came out. Previously, Don Callis and the family, you know.
Yeah.
Confronted Okada backstage. Okada called him a bitch. And I'm like, okay, yeah, here we go.
I like that. Here we go.
And what happened afterwards, Don Callis came out and he said, why aren't Takeshita or Kyle Fletcher in your matches? Like, why isn't them? Which is, you know, probably a good question. But we got to understand that it's a winner-take-all match. It was a title for title. And the winner becomes the unified champion. So the name of the title is... okay, I guess it's fine, but the title itself is really, really good. I like how the new title belt design looks like. Do you like it?
Yeah, it looks pretty good. It didn't look too well like on TV, but the picture that I've seen of it by itself, it looks pretty standard, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it looks. Yeah, I'm just gonna say it looks good.
The International Championship is probably one of my favorite championships in AEW, apart from the main title, which I already fucking forgot what it looked like. But the International Championship looks really, really good, and I really like it. So yeah. I'm going to be sad to see that go, so they could probably email it to, mail it to me to Bulgaria. Please just give me it. It's really, really good. Just give me it.
Yeah.
Just add the Bulgarian flag and just give me. So, Kenny Omega tells Don Callis that he's like, I've known all of your tricks, so just stop. Go away. And Don Callis was like, you didn't see that trick coming. And then Okada hits Kenny Omega from behind with one of the titles. And then he gets out the police thingy. What do you call it? A police?
Nightstick or like a
nightstick.
Some people call it a nightstick, but it's a pretty much a baton. Yeah, which is ironically what I call. Never mind.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was. I think that was a. Now that I try to recall, I think it was just a. Just a baton, really. Yeah.
Yeah, was, please baton. Yeah. So he started beating Kenny Omega with it, and they of course target the mid area. They target the high verticalitis.
You gotta watch out for that.
Yeah,
they'll come back and bite you.
Yes. So Christopher Daniels came out, and he was there to basically distract the audience while everyone gave about 53 million pills of fake blood to Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that did not look good.
That looks so comedic, man.
Yeah, I was like, but man, that guy's dead if that's how much blood can be like.
It's fucking God, man.
Yeah,
but like I understand that they were being dramatic overly dramatic for effect. I understand what they,
I
just wanted this to be a Kenny Omega and Okada match. And what we're going to get now is a bunch of family, Don Callis family crap. And I hate this so much because I just wanted this to be a Kenny Omega and Okada match. So I still have no idea how I feel about this. I'm just not gonna, I'm not gonna let this get me down. I'm still gonna love the match, but we could have gone without the family getting involved. At least not for now. They have 4 weeks.
Yeah.
To make this okay. But because with those 4-hour blocks, we had a lot of Don Callis on television, and that's just getting to me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree with you 100%. So, anything else you want to talk about?
Let me look at my notes. Hey, how are you feeling about the MJF Hurt Syndicate thing?
It's a matter of time before MJF goes heel on him, or I think it'd be kind of cool if they changed that norm and let the Hurt Syndicate be the ones that turn heel on them. It's a matter of time, obviously.
See, the last time MJF was made to look like a fool with Adam Cole. So basically it's his turn now. The reason why he wanted, because I don't know who made that point. Mm-hmm. He made it perfectly clear that he wanted Hurt Syndicate behind him just so he can get his hands on his title back. He pretty much said that he wanted people doing his dirty work. And I don't understand why Hurt Business are okay with that. So in my eyes, they need to turn heel on him. But it's like... him being dressed like MVP this past week was really good. I'm going to need for him to put the nose clip on and have, you know, the headband. Yep. but it looked really good. I don't know where this is heading, because I didn't think that it would get this far. You know, that he would actually get into the Hurt Business. I never thought that it would be this. So it's just a bit weird for me, because I thought that we would never be here as to, you know.
Yeah. No. So but
it's really definitely weird.
Yeah. So it just came out that the fourth person in the King of the Ring match on Raw this coming Monday is going to be Jey Uso.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in that. But, Maggie, there's been somewhat of an update on your guy Wardlow. Have you seen this?
That he's training with Rick Boogs?
Well, yeah, but what it is they'll be doing a TV show together that right now The Miz is hosting. So your Forbidden Door. It is none other than the 12-time winning Emmy award winning American Gladiators. So yeah, Wardlow announced for American Gladiators. Camille was added to that as well. There's, I think, two other indie wrestlers. I can't remember their names, but they're added. Now, I think it was Dave Meltzer. Maybe it was, I believe it was Dave Meltzer that said that there's some, all of a sudden there's one company that has issues with this, which makes me kind of wonder if it's probably WWE, because I know they don't want their guy being on TV with an AEW guy, which I'm like, just get the hell over it, please. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, Wardlow is not going to steal anything from your business, and Miz is not going to steal anything. Well, he steals your heart, but I mean, we're more than that. But anyways, it's just not a big deal, like, in my opinion, but we know how people at WWE tend to operate. And it shouldn't be the big issue. It shouldn't be an issue at all, in my opinion, but whatever. I loved watching this show when I was a kid. Like, I absolutely loved it. It was on, I think, on Saturday nights, a syndicated show. It was just fun. Like, you would, there were just different, like, sports that you would compete in, and the goal was to beat these gladiators. Usually the gladiators won in the long run, but sometimes, like, the average guy would win. So it just made it, it made it for entertaining TV, and anybody that watched American Gladiators enjoyed the show. I don't know if I've ever encountered somebody say, yeah, I watch American Gladiators, I hate it. You know, like, I don't, if you watch that show, you enjoy it. So
I've never seen an episode of the show. I don't even know what it's about.
I'll have to send you, like, there's some stuff on YouTube, like, yeah, it's just
what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's obstacle courses. Yeah, Rick Boogs is part of that too. So
I saw a video of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So American Gladiators, Wardlow, Rick Boogs, Camille, OVW stars, Jessica J Rod, and Jesse Goddard's, I think that's how it's pronounced.
And The Miz is hosting. Is The Miz always hosting this show, or is it just this time?
I think he's the host of the show.
Always and forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So weird, man.
So, yeah. Okay. But, yeah, Maggie, plug your shit.
I'm basically going to be watching the American Gladiators.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, yep. Thank you. That's the first time for everything. Guys, you can follow me on Twix or Twitter or X or whatever you guys want to call it, at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. Thank you so much. Rob?
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. And then, of course, you can catch us here next week on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, for another episode of Coexisting. We want to say thank you for tuning in today, and we hope you enjoyed it. Do us a favor, hit that like button. It means a lot to us. Leave a comment for us, because that helps us out a lot too. And subscribe to Fightful Select. It means a lot to us when you do that, and it helps us out a lot when you do that. So again, thank you everyone for joining us tonight. You have Kate and Alexis Cardoza doing the SmackDown post show tomorrow. There is no Saturday Collision post show, but you do have Grapsity with Phil and Reg. So check those guys out. They're always having fun. And then Sunday,
tune into Wrestling Made Me Cry, please.
Yep. And then we're back to our normal schedules with all the other great shows on the Fightful podcasts and all that good stuff. But again, I want to say thank you guys. We will see you next week. Have a great weekend or great day whenever you listen to this. Peace out, my friends. See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.